Miguel, if you can take your seat and be quiet so we can get started. Thank you. Nikki, you can call the roll.
Chairman Garcia?
Here.
Vice Chair Torres?
Present.
Senator Broxson?
Here.
Senator Campbell?
Here.
Senator Stargell?
Here.
Senator Stubbe?
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Nikki. And members, welcome. Welcome back. I know it's been a very busy summer for all of us, having to deal with a couple of hurricanes and some of the issues from the aftermath of the hurricanes. And that's why this committee becomes that much more important this year when we deal with the issues dealing with nursing homes and the ALFs, emergency response, improving child welfare. And one of the things that we're all looking forward to work on, unfortunately, is the response to the opioid crisis and dealing with mental health and the substance abuse issues that have for far too long been plaguing our state and our country. And I'm encouraged by the direction of our governor and that of the White House in trying to address this issue finally. And also, we can't forget elder affairs issues. We have to make sure that we protect our seniors who have done so much for the society and given so much of themselves to ensure that we have a good life, and now it's our turn to give back. And that's what a couple of the issues that we're going to be focusing on in our committee the next couple of weeks or couple of months. And I encourage everyone that's out here in the audience and is watching us online or on TV to be active in this committee, because we clearly do not have all the answers, nor do we pretend to have the answers, but I know that every single member of this committee's heart is in the right place, including our staff, who is by far has the biggest heart in this legislature and is always working to improve the lives of the voiceless. And that's what this committee is all about. It's making sure that we give a voice to those that don't have one. And with that, I also want to welcome Senator Stubbe to the committee. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time with Senator Stubbe in the committee. And I was going to make a joke, but it's my bad taste. I'm not going to do that. Let it go.
It seems like he was there before.
With that, I think we are going to get into – members, do you have any comments, questions? Good. With that, let's start off with Senator Bean's bill, Senate Bill 222. Okay, so let's go to Senator Stubbe, Senate Bill 96.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was a bill that this committee heard last year and passed unanimously in this committee. All it does is require that when they have comprehensive health education and sex education in high schools, that they add the dangers and signs of human trafficking, and that there be an education portion in their health curriculum to include, but is not limited to, information on the warning signs of human trafficking, terms used by traffickers, red flags that would indicate a trafficker's malicious intent toward a student, websites that are popular with traffickers, and details on how a student may get help. This idea came to me from a high school student that I had in my district, and she said, you know, obviously this is a problem throughout the state, and she didn't realize that there are certain warning signs, certain things that people in her high school could look for to try to help people that are possibly involved in some of these different groups and organizations that are targeting young women. And I think this is a way that we as a legislature can require that our students are taught these warning signs to prevent individuals getting involved in these trafficking groups. That is the bill.
Any questions, members? Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Stubbe, the question I have is, I know it says middle school and high schools. Can we include elementary schools? You know, because those children also are subject to human trafficking issues.
Mr. Chair. I'm adding it into the comprehensive health education portion, so you would have to extend that, I believe, to the younger children. I mean, we can talk about that as the bill moves through the process, but the way that I've added it in, it's wherever the comprehensive health education is taught.
All right.
Any other questions? Seeing no questions, we'll get into public testimony. Bonnie Bishop. He is in favor of the bill. Barbara Devane. It is a good bill. Dr. Danielle Thomas. Linda Alexia, yeah. Good deal. Members, we are now in debate of the bill. Any debate?
Wave close.
Wave close. Waving close on his very good bill, Senate Bill 96. Nikki, please call the row on Senate Bill 96.
Senator Broxson?
Yes.
Senator Campbell?
Yes.
Senator Stargell?
Yes.
Senator Stubbe?
Yes.
Vice Chair Torres?
Yes.
Chairman Garcia?
Yes, and with that, shall Senate Bill 96 reported favorably. Senator Campbell, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Senate Bill 108, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 108 creates the KidCare Operational Efficiency and Healthcare Improvement Work Group to maximize the state's return on investment in the KidCare program and health insurance program for children in lower-income households. The work group in-housed in the Department of Health and must recommend operational efficiencies to the governor and legislature by December 31st, 2018. The point of this bill is to simplify the program for families and to streamline the administration to make it more efficient and save tax dollars. KidCare is a complex program. The insurance piece has four different parts: Medicaid, Medicaids, Healthy Kids, and the CMS plan for kids with special health care needs. Now, there are two different organizations that handle eligibility and enrollment for the program. The Department of Children and Families does Medicaid eligibility and enrollment, while Florida Healthy Kids determines eligibility and enrollment for the part that collects monthly premiums from families. For example, one charge to the work group in my bill is to make recommendations for a single administrator to determine program eligibility and enrollment. I filed the bill last year, but it may be even more important this year to look at the program because of the uncertainty about its funding at the federal level. This makes streamlining and making the program more efficient even more important. Currently, we have 2.6 million children in Florida that rely on this program that are not eligible for Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program, also known as CHIP. 52% of those children are infants, toddlers, and preschoolers. 45% have disability, and 50% are newborns in low-income families. 342,000 kids in Florida can be uninsured if Congress does not reauthorize the federal funding. Out of 52 states, 19 did not expand Medicaid, and Florida is one of those states. Florida's refusal to expand Medicaid has made it difficult for lots of kids to benefit from the program. So it is my understanding that the state has some money to carry those kids who will lose insurance if Congress does not reauthorize federal funding, but they won't be able to carry them for long. We want a clean, cheap bill so that the families do not have to worry about losing funding. We don't want an extension of the premiums. Texas waived funding for September and November. We ask that you do the same. Do not extend, but waive the premiums. American children deserve better. This is the bill, Mr. Chair.
We have Mary Monroe. Oh, I'm sorry, Marty. Perfect, good job. Karen Woodall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Is it on? Karen, how long have you been doing this? You don't know how to turn on that mic? Come
on. I have a loud mouth, okay. So usually it doesn't matter. You know, you forget things the longer you've been doing them. I'm just saying. I want to thank you and the members of this committee for your longtime support of the Kid Care program. I want to speak in favor of Senator Campbell's bill. We've been recommending actually for many years that we streamline the program. Florida has and has always had one of the more complex programs in the state because of all of the partner entities involved. And oftentimes when you have multiple agencies, no matter how good you are, you lose kids between the programs. We also think it's time to look at having common benefit package and a number of benefits, number of the things that this bill would do. So we appreciate it and support it and urge your support. One example of some of the things that happen when you have so many players involved, well, it's not the specific object of this bill. Following Hurricane Irma, lots of things were being done to help families. With all of the partner agencies involved here, they all had to come together to try to discuss how to assist families with their premium payments. It takes a long time to get all those people together to come up with something, and we think that could be avoided when you have single entities in charge of things. And just to mention, as you know, there is a concern about what they did come up with and just extending. I think, Senator Campbell, this is what you were referring to, extending the time frame to pay the premiums rather than waiving the premiums, as several advocates had suggested, as Texas did following Hurricane Harvey, and as actually some of you might have been around when Governor Bush waived the premium payments in 2005 when four hurricanes hit the state repeatedly. So that's something we hope you will consider outside of the context of this bill in another discussion. I'm just kind of sticking that in here while I have the mic and it's turned on. But in relation to the bill, we would urge your support, and thank you, Senator Campbell, for bringing it forward.
Yes. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Karen, the question I have is, what is the fee that these families are charged on this Kid Care?
They either pay $15 or $20 monthly premium.
So that's basically, with these 342 families, they have till the end of the month to catch up on their premiums? Is that...
No.
What the partner agencies just did was, in response to Irma, was to extend the period of time for them to make their premium payment to the end of October 31st. But that also requires them to make two premium payments in the same month, because if they don't make their, you pay for the following month. So if you don't make the premium payment for November, then you're going to lose your coverage. And it is probable that there are families who already lost their coverage because they didn't make their premium payment in September for October. And the extension was that they would be reinstated, and if they incurred any medical costs, they could pursue reimbursement with their providers.
But you also said that this happened before, and the prior governor, Jeb Bush, he waived those fees?
Yes, sir. He waived the premium payments. Was back when there were four hurricanes.
So,
Mr. Chairman, let's do this before we go down that path, and I understand everything's well-intentioned. But let's figure out what the number is. Let's go to the Department of Health, find out exactly what number of families are affected.
That's right.
And then we can...
That's right.
Figure out if there's a request that we can do from as this committee, because there might be just a handful of families. Overall, I'm not saying that's not a bad thing, but just want to make sure we have the actual numbers before us before.
Well,
you could go ahead with your questions. But.
No, I understand, but I also understand the urgency of this coming towards the end of the month where these families are facing this, and we don't want them to lose their program or what they have. And if the current governor can do something on waiving this and doing it through executive order, whatever it takes, I think that's something that we need to approach on. That's what I'm getting at. Thank you.
Yes.
Let me add something. After the vice chairman said, it's going to be my recommendation for the committee to write a letter to Governor Scott to ask him to really, you know, follow Texas model and waive these 2 months because these people, you know, after they lost their homes, some of them lost their jobs. They don't have no job, no home, foods. And you're going to extend for them to pay 2 months together. I don't think they have it. So we could really write a letter to Governor Scott, ask them to step in and waive it. And in the future, for the next step for this bill, we could add a piece of it and make it a policy where, you know, in case of disaster, automatically, you know, these, you know, whatever months and should be waived. Thank you.
Yes, and again, I reiterate, I want to get the actual numbers and then I'll bring it back to the committee and figure it out from there. But we all have, as committee members and as senators, we all have the right to ask and write whatever letter we want. Okay, so, but as a committee, I would like to get the information first and then proceed that way. But thank you, Karen, for all that information. We are at a public testimony. Okay, is there any debate on Senate Bill 108? Any debate? Senator Campbell, you're welcome to close. Waiving close. Nikki, can you call the roll on Senate Bill 108 by Senator Campbell?
Senator Broxson? Senator Campbell?
Yes.
Senator Stargell?
Yes.
Senator Stubbe?
Yes.
Vice Chair Torres?
Yes.
Chairman Garcia?
Yes. And with that, show Senate Bill 108 reported favorably. Next, we are on Senate Bill 222 by Senator Bean.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon to you and good afternoon, committee members. Great to be back with you. This is the Children and Families Committee. I don't need to brag to you about the guardian ad litem and what a great job they do. We all know the guardian ad litem represents abused, abandoned, neglected children in judicial proceedings. You may not know about their foundation. In 2007, the legislature said, guardian ad litem, you can create your own direct support organization, your DSO, and they created the foundation, the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Foundation, which raises money, gives it to children in need, as well as raises awareness about guardian ad litem. There's a repeal provision in statutes. This bill will delete the provision that will repeal and kill that foundation. Here's some numbers you may or may not know. Guardian ad litem this year, 2017 numbers, 12,138 volunteers. Children represented, 34,778. Volunteer hours, 184,000. And miles driven, how about this? We even track the miles driven by these volunteers, 1.5 million. So with your vote today, Senate Bill 222, if you support it and go and let it goes forward, it would delete the kill provision in Florida statutes and allow this great organization to keep going. That is the bill.
Any questions, members? It is a good bill. We are on public testimony. Linda Alexania? Alexania. Oh, I'll get there. Eric Clark? Waving support, sir. And Alan Abramowitz. Any debate? You're welcome to close. Waiving close. Nikki, please call the roll on Great Bill, Senate Bill 222.
Senator Broxson?
Yes.
Senator Campbell?
Yes.
Senator Stargell?
Yes.
Senator Stube?
Yes.
Vice Chair Torres?
Yes.
Chairman Garcia?
Yes, and with that, show Senate Bill 22222 reported favorably.
Chairman, members, thank you very much.
Listen, the bill's over with. I just want to thank you for bringing this bill forward. It's really unfortunate that we haven't put more money in the program and we rely on the private sector to do our job, I think. But the program itself has worked. It's working amazing, and it goes a long way to help a lot of children in this state. So congratulations for doing this, and good job. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Anything else to come before our committee? Right, we're done. With that, Senator Stargell moves, we rise. Thank you, members.